On this episode of Still Loading...
I can't believe you would do that, Koopa! Doesn't Christmas mean anything to you?
Christmas? Christmas is a bah-hum-coop! A bah-hum-coop! A
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. I am your host of the show, Josh. I just realized last week that after I recorded the last two episodes, I haven't really been saying my name at the top of the show, so I just say, hey, welcome to this episode. So my name is Josh. For new listeners, I am the host of Still Loading, and today we are having a very Christmassy, fun-filled episode, and with me, I have invited my buddy, Casey. Casey?
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Casey has been on the show numerous times for a lot of Mario episodes and a Metroid episode years ago.
That's right. That was first.
That was your first episode. Yeah. You never forget your first.
No.
never. So you're my go-to guy for a lot of Mario stuff. If you ever want to do an episode that's not Mario related, just tell me. I don't want to pigeonhole you into just Mario stuff. I know you love Mario.
Yeah.
But I also want to let you know any game is cool.
Sounds good to me.
So what we are going to be talking about today, in the honor of Christmas time and the holidays and all that festive cheer, we're going to be talking about a classic, a bona fide, genuine Christmas classic, and that is the Super Mario Brothers Super Show episode Koopa Claws, where Mario has to rescue Santa from the midst of King Koopa, from Koopa Claws. So let's dive right into this. This episode was weird and amazingly bad.
Yep.
So we just watched it again. It's a short 20-minute breeze. I definitely suggest it if you just want to laugh because it's something. Let me tell you. Now, what's weird about the Super Show is that unlike other Mario cartoons, is that this one had live-action interstitials, like usually at the beginning and end of the episode. And like it bookended the animated middle portion of the show. So did you watch a show when you were a kid, Casey?
I did, only for a little bit, but not on a regular basis. I only had a videotape that my great aunt got for my brother and I, and we watched the hell out of it. So like I was familiar with it, but I didn't watch it on TV.
I really want to get this whole series on DVD. The whole series, by the way, you can watch on Netflix. Apparently also on the streaming app Tubi, like T-U-B-I, which apparently is like a no sign up streaming app type of thing. It's all commercial like based, so like it'll have commercials on it, so like you don't have to sign up for anything, but in order for it to be stay free, it just shows commercials.
I'd be cool with that,
right?
Yeah, I didn't even check that out.
I haven't tried it out myself yet, but I'm curious. So yeah, it's such a weird show because it has the live action stuff like I said and the animated is the middle, and has one famous person as one of the Mario brothers. So the live action Mario is played by Captain Lou Albano, the famous wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch any of his wrestling matches before? I know you're big into wrestling, but
I did.
Don't know if you've seen
any. He was more famous for being a manager.
Really?
So he would,
okay.
Yeah, he would bring people out, and he would always have like rubber bands in his face. He would have he'd pierce his cheek and then put rubber bands in it. The weirdest fashion statement. Yeah, if
what?
You look it up, yeah.
It's, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I also know he was one of the people, like, it makes it sound, like, really dark, but he was also, like, a cutter, but I don't mean, like, a cutter in the sense
blader,
like suicide.
Yeah.
He was a blader. That's
blader,
what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where he would actually, like make the skin on his forehead just like use razor blades, mm-hmm. not to cut all the way through, but to weaken the skin in spots. So like a light hit will make him bleed
yep.
like crazy. A lot of wrestlers did that, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Other times what they would do is if they got hit in the head with a chair or whatever, they would, discreetly, take out a blade and just do it. And then they would hit a part where it would bleed pretty easily. And then just from them sweating would make it even more gruesome, even though it did no harm to them other than leaving a
scar. Other than getting a concussion from getting hit in the head with a chair.
Well, it's scripted. You know, they have their own... I shouldn't have revealed that.
Ah, well, I'm everyone joking. Knows. Everyone knows. I know. It's funny because I remember for a while... I know this is off topic from the episode, but Lou Albano is a wrestler, so it applies.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember when I first heard that, once I found out that wrestling was scripted, I was like, man, I don't know why anyone likes wrestling. It's stupid. And now as an adult, I'm like... Yeah, it's still scripted and everything's fake in a sense. Like maybe they add, I know they put like microphones underneath the ring to that way makes the drop sound more devastating and whatnot in the hits. But then I started thinking about it. I'm like, they're still beating the shit out of each other. It's just all scripted. Yeah, the fights are scripted and choreographed to an extent, but they're still beating the shit out of each other.
Most of them are, not so much today, but well, it really all depends on what. Organization you're watching.
AEW is really good.
Oh, I love AEW.
That's a new one, right?
Yeah.
It just started this year, actually. Mm-hmm. I've heard it's really good.
It's very entertaining. But I know most of them, if you were to watch documentaries, a lot of them are, you know, hooked on pain pills and alcohol, and their lifespan really isn't that not long
is crazy because like a lot of them are still like Ric Flair's still mm-hmm. alive. He's pretty old, right? He's in his 60s or 70s.
That guy has like 9 lives, man. He avoided death so many times just from
really
his crazy antics. Yeah,
I need to look up and learn more about this. Anyway, so Captain Lou Albano is Mario. He's Mario. Which this show, one of my favorite things about it, but at the same time, I guess it should be, is like the casual racism towards Italians that it has. It's mild, but it's like humorous. Like they call them spaghetti heads and shit like that.
It's so stupid.
So the episode opens. Oh, who plays Luigi?
Danny Wells.
Yeah. That's who it was. And he recently passed away too. Like in the last like 2-3 years, Danny Wells.
Yeah, I think he passed in, I want to say like 2013. And I know Albano passed in 2009 because I remember, you know, being at Monco that year.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you actually remember that?
Yeah, vividly. Yeah. It was like December 2009. So he's going on 10 years. So
that's crazy. Yeah. Oh, it's kind of sad that we're doing this on the 10-year anniversary of the year he died, but it's in his memory.
Exactly.
So the episode begins with this kid that, I mean, did you ever see a kid named Brian before on the show?
No.
Okay, so they act like this kid is a regular. It's this little blonde boy that comes down the steps with a suitcase. His name is Brian, and you find out he's trying to run away from home. And he says that his parents don't love him anymore, and that's why he wants to run away from home. And Mario and Luigi are watching a boxing match on TV, and they see him trying to run away. He's like, Brian, what are you doing? And how close was that? Fair enough. So he's trying to run away, and they try to convince him not to. So like, here, let's have a talk. And then it fades out to just go, that's a serious thing. A kid's trying to run away from home, and they're like, no, let's go to the cartoons now. And then it cuts over to the cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That whole scene was just weird. Like, I don't know. That kid can't act.
No.
And I think the strangest part, besides his, like, completely emotionless face and emotionless dialogue, the way he, like, presented the dialogue or whatever, the way he acted it out, was the fact that they acted like he's just like he's there. You know, oh, Brian, what are you doing here? It's like, do we know this kid? Has he ever been on the show before?
I've never seen him before. I mean, he may have been in an episode or two.
I don't think so,
because
it had on the very end, it said special guest Brian so-and-so. So I think it was just a kid that maybe like won a contest or something to get onto the Super Show. Maybe. That's my theory.
Yeah.
I have none of that's backed up by fact. That's just all theory. So they tell Brian to, you know, don't run away. Let's talk about this. And then it cuts to the cartoon segment. Which I will say, the music for this and for this whole show, the music's actually pretty damn good. They do pretty good remixes of the Mario music.
They do. I mean, if I remember correctly, it just opens up with, you know, a Koopa dressed as Santa, you know, professing his hate at how much he hates Christmas.
And literally putting toys on a conveyor belt to get burned, get destroyed.
Just destroying toys. And then he has his minions, which I think are the, I don't remember his name, the snakes.
Oh my gosh, I even have it. I'm looking at a picture of it right now. It is the Triclides, I actually had to look those up. I'm like, I don't know what Triclides are. They're from Super Mario Bros. 2.
The ones that throw, they spit the fire out at you. And then you have those they look like teeth that you have to throw at them. They're not teeth. They look like teeth. It's like pink, and then with the bottom.
Is that a turnip?
White. No, no. Yeah, whatever. Anyway. Yeah, anyway. So, and then all of a sudden, you know, Mario, Luigi, Toadstool, and Toad all pop up from underneath the snow.
I forget. Well, I thought, did they say Daisy? Do you remember? I know Princess wasn't called Peach yet. That wasn't until like Mario 64.
Right. I'm pretty sure it's Princess Toadstool.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they pop up from underneath the snow, and Luigi's like, ugh, I'm going to do a terrible impression.
But they ripped off Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
They like, Toad, are you sure this isn't Hawaii land?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I must have taken that wrong turn at the iceberg.
Beautiful.
I can actually do like a pretty good Toad voice for that time. Not in that specific episode, but it's super loud and obnoxious, so I'm not going to do it on mic because I'd have to like stand in the other room because it's loud when I do that.
Yeah, so I mean, they end up seeing a sign that says, oh, the North Pole 5 miles away, and me being stupid, I thought it's a North Pole smiles because the five look like an S.
Yeah, it kind of does. It's also it's also since it's a background cell, it's not nearly as crisp as mm-hmm. the animation cell that's on above it. It's kind of funny because you can tell it's like cheap animation.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something like so comforting to me about the cheap animation based off video game stuff from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It warms my heart, like the Christmas spirit.
So then I think that's when Toad says, like, oh, yeah, I love Christmas, you know.
I love presents.
So then, you know, Toadstool finally gives him a gift because he's annoying as shit just to shut him up.
Oh, my God. Toad is a dick in this episode.
He is very selfish.
He is a straight-up penis in this whole episode.
Yes, right until, to the point.
Even at the very end when he learns his lesson, which we'll get to, he's still a dick.
Yeah, so she gives him a snowboard, so he's... you know, riding all around with snow with that. So I think that's when they're like, oh, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. You know, the cliche, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And it's King Koopa, or no, Koopa Claws.
Koopa Claws, that's
not
right.
King Koopa, Koopa Claws. And his tagline for the episode, Christmas, Bah Humcoop.
So stupid.
So we looked up the writer for this episode, and it was written by Jack Olesker. And this dude has a website, and he has, like, a large body of work. And I really just want to know how he kept getting hired when you use lines like, Bah Humcoop. I can forgive the bad, you know, like, oh, this is Hawaii land. Like, it's like, you know, the different lands in all the Mario games.
Right.
Like, I totally get, like, that's actually, it's not a good joke, but he worked in the Mario lore fairly well enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can forgive that. Bah Humcoop is unforgivable to me. No person in their right mind would be like, let's make a pun out of Bah Humbug and say Bah Humcoop. It's inconceivable to me.
So uncreative.
It's so stupid. Bad. So he Koopa kidnaps Santa. You see it off screen, which I thought was kind of weird. You just see him going to the North Pole because they see the sign, like you said, and they see Koopa flying over it. And they're like, what do you think he's doing over here? And Mario remembers the sign 5 miles to the North Pole. He's like, he's after Santa.
two together.
We're going to just be doing bad impressions of these Mario voices all episode long.
That is fine with me.
And so they go after it, and they get to there. They get to Santa's workshop, and it's completely frozen over. Everything's in ice blocks. It just looks awful. And Koopa has Santa hogtied and has like a bandana wrapped around his mouth, so a muzzle pretty much, so he can't speak. And he starts dropping bomb. Oh no, he dropped a bomb earlier on, mm-hmm. on Mario and Toadstool. I gotta say Peach. It doesn't work. It actually looks like Daisy to me.
Yeah, she does look like Daisy.
But so you gotta, and you know they. So I guess before the. I went a little bit too far ahead. Before they get to, before they see what Koopa's doing, trying to steal, kidnap Santa, Koopa drops bombs on them, and that's when Mario figures out, like, you know, his thing. So he drops a bomb and Toad gets blown up and he's all worried about his board. And Toadstool's like, oh, you don't care about us, Toad. You only care about your present. He's like, well, since it's Christmas, are you okay, princess? I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Yep.
So, like we said, he's a dick.
He's a penis in this.
He's
episode.
A
with shaft and everything with the dots.
With oh god, this went from this show has so many moments that could be double entendres. Like it makes me a little uncomfortable, and I know that's not the show's fault. That's just me just having that type of sense of humor, but it still kind of is like. It makes me a little uncomfortable. Yep.
Especially, well, we'll get to that.
Yeah. So they go to the North Pole, see that it's all frozen over and that Koopa's kidnapped Santa. Like I said before, I just had to backtrack a second. And Mario tells Luigi to bring that ice block over there, and Luigi picks it up like an old man. Looks, oh, okay, let me hang it over here. And he didn't say that, but
well, at the end when he put yeah. it, yeah,
yeah, he does this weird old man yeah. voice. They put it on a seesaw, and Mario just pretty much has Luigi hop on his shoulders, jump off of his shoulders, land on the other side of the seesaw to fling the heavy block of ice. I understand physics don't make any sense. It's just goofy.
Should have been Mario to jump on right. it. That would make more sense.
But Luigi's taller, so does he have more weight? But Mario's also known to be like a short, kind of chubby plumber, mm-hmm. so...
That's why I was... Whatever.
That would have made sense, you're right. And if he would have jumped off Luigi's shoulders, it would have been from a higher distance.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? So they... Somehow, the icebox perfectly hits Koopa's sleigh that's flying in the air, which... Do you know what the things that were guiding his sleigh were? I have no idea. They look like weird animals with
snakes
handlebars.
With bike handles on their heads or something.
Right? And the weird thing is that I could understand if like he used them and he held onto the handlebars, but he doesn't. He whips them like they're horses and they just fly through the air. It's so strange. And so Santa and Koopa fall out. And I mean, we're going to go into a little bit more detail, but the whole episode is pretty much just them chasing after Koopa.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, there really wasn't anything else. I mean, Toad is selfish.
The
entire time. When they catch up to Santa, and they say, oh, Santa says, oh, yeah, my toy factory is all frozen over. There's not going to be a Christmas this year because it's not going to thaw in time. Yeah, you said this is so good.
Toad comes up to Santa and he goes, well, Santa, I still have my present.
That's all that matters. He like, didn't say that part.
Oh, and he goes, oh, Toad, isn't that just great? And then he walks off so sad, and Toad's like, what's wrong with Santa? That was not my Toad voice, but it's so, oh my gosh. But so they're chasing Koopa to get to that point, and Koopa is just running through just random frozen tundra, and then all of a sudden he's like, well, it's a good thing I have backup, attack my flurries. And it's just little tiny like white snowballs, which when he said flurries, I thought he said furries the first time, and I went, oh god.
No,
they're everywhere. But it's just these little tiny snowball things, and they bring up a bunch of ice. They bring up perfect cubes of ice and they slide them at Mario and the gang. Mm-hmm. Mario, Toadstool, Daisy, and Luigi. Or sorry, Mario, Toadstool, Luigi, and Toad. We gotta call her Daisy because I can't keep calling her Toadstool. So Mario and Luigi get an ice block of their own and they're like, let's fight fire with fire. And then Luigi's like, don't you mean ice with ice? It's so bad. And they push the ice block at all the flurries, who just decide to clump up together into one spot and just bowl them over.
Yep.
Takes them all out, and Koopa's like, oh, they stopped my furries. I mean, flurries. No, flurries. He said flurries. And, so they keep chasing him, and it gets to the point where Koopa runs into a cave, and they stop there, and Luigi's like, I don't know, it's dark in there. And, like, that's a reason to stop? Yeah. I don't know. Like, there was no growling. You didn't hear anything. It just, they just... They're like, it's dark in there, and Toadstool's like, it's going to be really dark when Christmas doesn't happen.
They all just stare at him like, really, dude?
And it gets heavy pretty fast. Do you remember what happens afterwards?
I know they were platforming through the tunnel, and they finally came up, and then you see Koopa Claus with Santa on the top of a...
like a mountain.
Like a mountain of sort. Santa, he threw Santa off, right?
No,
I forget. So he was going to. But he
threatened to throw Santa off, and this is actually where you're going to hear the little. This is where the sound clip that you heard at the beginning of the episode comes in, where he goes. They're like, "Doesn't Christmas mean anything to you, Koopa Claus?" He's like, "Christmas is a bah humbug, a bah humbug." He just keeps repeating it and causes an avalanche.
Yep.
And then this is where it gets a little weird. Because Mario's like, I'm going to save Santa with my plumber's snake.
That's right. That's right.
And it just he just takes out a whip that's supposed to be a plumber's snake, which I get. It's like that would be a creative weapon in a video game. Like you use a plumber's snake. And unfortunately, it's just like that's so close to an innuendo. But, you know, that is an actual tool that they use to, you know, to go through pipes and whatnot. Anybody uses it as a whip, it lasses around Santa and he pulls him off the cliff, which is nuts because that's got to be like a 100-foot long plumber snake to do that, but whatever. And then Koopa's like, you're not going to get me? And they're like, you can just jump like you told Santa to do. And like the moral thing in a Christmas episode, they should have saved Koopa to be like, look, this is how good we can be, and you can be too, Koopa, and like treat him with respect, even though he's a douchebag. Like any other kids show would like do the cliche mm-hmm. of like be kind to your enemies, and I feel like that would have been better. Like this show had so little morals in it.
Yeah, it did.
Even and the morals that he tried to do were pretty. It wasn't bad morals. It was just like. Ham-fisted in what it's true ham meat fist that's how yeah. So Koopa dives into the freezing water, swims off, and then ends up on an iceberg with a polar bear, and that's literally how they defeat Koopa. Mm-hmm. Like there's no comeuppance, that's it. And they set this whole thing up like he's gonna get chased away or something. He gets onto the iceberg, he sees the polar bear and like screeching at him. And then it just fades to black. It just cuts.
Yep.
And then they get back to Santa's workshop. They rescue Santa through that. They bring him back to his workshop. And Santa's like, I don't know if we'll be able to thaw my workshop in time. Because remember earlier, they froze the whole thing.
So, that's when Toad says, yeah, but at least I got my present.
And he's like, that's nice, Toad. And he walks away. Toad's such a dick, man. Like, and
he did redeem himself at the end, though. He's like, oh, well, you can have my present, Santa. And then he's like, oh, Toad, in all my years of me doing this, this was like the nicest thing anyone's ever done.
I've never seen anyone exude the spirit of Christmas more than you.
Yep.
Even though he spent the entire episode being an asshole.
And then he starts crying. He's like, oh, don't cry, Santa. Then they got like dangerously close to each other. I thought they were going to make out for a minute.
Oh, I didn't even get that vibe at all. I thought they were just hugging.
Like, what is
going
on?
I think it says more about you than it does about the show.
Oh, yeah. 100%, yes. 100%. That's why I looked at it, and I looked at you, and then I was just like, never mind.
And then Santa, so the workshop gets thawed by Santa's Christmas spirit because he's so happy that Toad gave him the only present Toad received. Toad gave him his only present to Santa,
mm-hmm.
and Santa's so moved by this that his Christmas joy warms everything. I don't know. So. And the whole ice palace melts, and or the whole all the elves unfreeze, all the ice palace stuff melts, and then the cartoon ends with him. Like, I have a present for all of you. You get to help me deliver the presents to everyone else. And they're all like, yay. It's a weird thing to offer up as a present.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a good way to end it. Have Mario and Toadstool and Luigi and Toad help deliver the presents. But it's weird that he poses it as, this is a present for you. You get to do my work with
Pretty
me.
Pretty much, yeah. I was like, oh, that's cool.
it would have been better as like, Toad, Luigi, Mario, Toadstool, would you like to help me deliver the presents to all the good boys and girls or something like that, that would have made more sense to me, you know? But as it stands, Alexa. it just...
Alexa,
Alexa, whatever Alexers. His face is, whoever wrote this episode. And that's the end of the cartoon segment. Do you remember what happened with the live action segment, though? Do you remember what the next part was?
Yeah, so, you know, during the intervals, they were basically talking to that kid, Brian, and how Mario said that when they were younger, that he ran away from home. And then they did a little flashback of both of them.
In short shorts.
Yes, in short shorts, you know, running around, fighting each other, Mario and Luigi, and then...
Danny Wells shaved his mustache for it.
And then their mom is saying, like, oh, you know, this is all your fault, Mario. You're the older brother. You should know better. And I'm going to... You're grounded again. He's like, yeah, but I've been grounded like 5 times this week. He's like...
She's like, you're going to have to peel the garlic.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, Mom, I wouldn't even want to play with myself after that. This is terrible. He did say that. He did. He's like, no, I smell so bad, I wouldn't even want to play with myself. He legit said that.
Wow. Yeah. I didn't even catch that. Yeah. I wouldn't want to play. Wow. I love the mom is clearly just a man in old, like, granny clothing. And they don't even, you don't even see, like.
No, you don't see
so
the face.
So you see him from the, you see the back where it's just, like, the head and that kind of thing later on, like, a couple seconds later in the episode. But. When you first see her, and she's yelling at Mario, all you see is just her left foot and her arm just shaking. Like,
yeah, just out of the doorway.
Just angrily shaking. I'm like, what is this? You couldn't hire an old woman?
Yeah, really.
Or you couldn't hire, not even old woman, you couldn't hire someone to play his mother?
Yeah.
It just shaking. That's a weird hand motion.
Yeah, so that after that, they were basically just telling the story of that and then how Mario eventually came back and then how the mother was saying, like, yeah, well, I actually didn't miss your fighting, your messes, but I missed you. And Mario's like, oh, yay. And then she smacks him on the head with a purse.
What was that for, Mama?
Yeah.
Just in case.
Yeah, it's just something stupid like that.
And then it cuts back, though. This is what kills me. It cuts back to modern day and and Brian's like, oh, so... You're saying that was a really beautiful story, Mario. It makes me want to barf.
Yeah.
But he didn't even emote that much. He stuck his finger in his mouth like he was trying to make himself barf. And the thing that kills me is like, so wait, you're telling me I shouldn't run away from home because it'll make my parents too happy? He goes, yep.
And good lesson.
The moral is to go back to your parents because... they're too happy without you. That is a fucked up message to give to a child. Like, I understand if this was an adult comedy, that would be a good joke. Mm-hmm. That'd be funny. But in a kid's show, it's funny to me. It's fucked up to put that idea into a kid's head that, hey, your parents are happier without you.
Yeah.
That's really fucked up. Oh my gosh. And that's the episode. That is Koopa Claws is the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Now this is our recording pretty much is about the same length as the episode, just about a little bit longer actually.
Yeah.
So Casey, what did you think of the episode overall? Just rewatching it again. How much of it did you enjoy? Even whether it's ironically or all the nostalgia buttons being hit. Objectively,
right.
We know it's not good, but in terms of, like, I actually liked it.
I liked it ironically. I think it's a lot more fun to watch with, you know, other people.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. I mean, if you were to watch it yourself, you'd be like, why am I wasting my time with
this? Oh, I've watched it by myself numerous times. I am wasting my time, though. It's okay.
Hey, if you enjoyed it, that's cool. No, it was just one of those things where... I really liked the sound effects, and I know we were talking about it before with the music in the background. Definitely legitimate, the remixes and everything like that. But I mean, it was just a cliched story, but it is what it is. It's meant for kids.
I don't even know if it's cliche. It's just dumb. There's just no substance to the story. Like, well, cliche at least has the substance of a cliche.
Well, I mean, you know, you have the evil guy who hates Christmas, and just the jokes with like, oh, this doesn't look like Hawaii. I don't think we're in Hawaii land anymore. You know, Wizard of Oz reference, and like you said, the Looney Tunes, like, oh, the iceberg. I made a wrong turn.
Made a wrong. Should have turned left at that ice boig.
Ice boig. Yeah, and by I did not mean to come at you for that in terms of like, oh, well, I thought it was dumb, but
I don't care. Like you, like I watch this and like I enjoy it. It's definitely part ironically. Mm-hmm. It's not like a legitimate enjoyment. There are some movies and TV shows that are so bad that I legitimately enjoy them and like not ironically. I mean, I guess I enjoy them because of how bad they are, but it's not like. I guess it would be liking it ironically, but at the same time, it's like, I guess for me, liking it ironically is that you like to make fun of it, mm-hmm. but it's not something you would watch again type of thing. Like it's like you said, it's something fun to put on with your friends and be like, isn't this fucked up?
Right.
Like it's kind of fun to watch.
Which I kind of understand where you're coming from. Like I like the Super Mario Brothers movie, albeit it's horrible because I grew up with it and I know it's terrible, but I
you would watch it by yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the, yeah. So there's a movie that I like that's so bad it's good called Miami Connection.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about motorcycle ninjas who have tightened their grip on Florida's narcotic trade, and they fight a group of martial arts. They fight a martial arts rock band. So the martial arts rock band is the heroes and they go up against a group of motorcycle ninjas.
Martial arts rock band. What does that even mean?
I'll show you clips after we're done recording because it's awesome and cheesy. And that movie's awful. Like, legitimately, like, the acting is bad. The storyline is nonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
The music's actually kind of fun. It's not, I don't know how good it is, but at the same time, I kind of like it. But I've watched that by myself numerous times because I find it enjoyable. On the flip side, another bad movie that I ironically like, but I can't watch more than like just showing it to people, is it's called The FP, which stands for Fraser Park. It's about two rival street gangs who fight for control of Fraser Park, or the FP, by playing Beat Beat Revelation, which is a deadly version of Dance Dance Revolution.
Oh my gosh. When did this come out?
2011.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's, like, it's not that old. It's not like, that it's, old. I mean, wow. It's almost 10 years, to be fair.
That's scary, though. Yeah.
2011 is 8 years ago now. Almost 9. That's a movie. It exists somewhere. I find that idea super funny, but it was meant to be a comedy, but it's still really bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fucking bad. But like this show, it's definitely in that kind of camp for me in the FP. Like I enjoy this, like it's fun, but at the same time, I don't like, actually it's in the middle. It's in the middle of Miami Connection where I actually legitimately enjoy watching that movie even by myself. Versus the FP where it's like, I kind of like watching it. I don't like watching it by myself at all. It's in the middle of those two where it's like, I could watch this by myself, but at the same time, it is a lot more fun watching it with people.
Got it.
But that's where it stands for me. It's objectively, it's pretty awful. It's a pretty bad episode. The show itself is not very great. But it hits a soft spot for me, even though I didn't even watch this as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have any of the nostalgia that you have for it, or any like even recollection of it.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, the only videotape that I had, I think, had like one or two episodes on it, and like I watched the hell out of it. Yeah, it's so good.
I love that shit. I'm probably gonna do something similar to this for another Christmas episode, maybe another video game Christmas thing. There's a video game podcast I listen to called Retronauts, and they've done all these before. And I want to. The only reason I don't want to do is I feel like I'm taking their idea, and I don't mm-hmm. want to do that. Granted, I did not listen to the episode again before this, so it's not like it's going to be. I'm not taking any points from them or
right.
Or anything like that, but so I'm hesitant to do that. I might do it at, like all at once or something next year, like do a whole bunch of Christmas themed like video game show episodes or something like that, all in one go instead of like one every year. But this one's only going to be one for this year.
Got it. I'm probably wrong about this, but do you have them on your shoutouts at all or no?
For Retronauts?
Yeah.
They don't know who I am.
Oh, okay.
They have no idea who I am.
Got it.
They're probably they're much bigger than I am. They're a very good show. They do mm-hmm. a lot of good like I try to infuse humor in this. I mean, for you listeners, hopefully you find my attempts at humor funny. Retronauts is very history based. Like they're very more straight laced about it,
mm-hmm.
and It's a little dry, I'm not going to lie, but I still really love that podcast. It's one of my favorites. They do deep dives into stuff that you've never heard of. There's a really cool one. I don't think it was the sole focus of the episode. They do, like, I try to do like an episode, one game per episode. I try not to do like multiple games in an episode unless it's something where it's just like I want to cover the topic badly. Like, when, like the end of Mario month this year, you and I did a few of the Mario's ABCs games as like
the obscure titles because
we did all the edutainment ones, and we did one edutainment game per episode until the last one, where it was all like the fun with numbers and fun with letter stuff, which those aren't, we can't talk about those for 30-40 minutes a piece. Like, right. There's just not enough in them. At least like Mario's Missing had a full storyline and gameplay in it.
I still can't believe we beat that.
I know, right? But Retronauts, a lot of their, like, I try to focus on individual games during my episodes. Retronauts focuses on like kind of group things. They pick the big games, they'll do individual episodes on, like Super Mario World, Ocarina of Time, Super Mario 64, Shadow of the Colossus. Even that, they doubled up. They did Shadow of the Colossus and Ico on an episode. I would try to split it up and do just one game per episode, with very few situations like that. But with them, they group a lot of them together because they cover a lot of ground. So if anyone listening to this really likes video game history, definitely check out the Retronauts podcast. Once again, they have no idea who I am. I just really like their stuff, and they're actually one of the reasons that inspired me to podcast. A combination of them and Kevin Smith's podcast.
I'm a huge Kevin Smith fan.
Because he has a whole spiel about what, like, just record a podcast, just do it. Who cares? It's something fun to do. So it was a combination of that and Retronauts. I was like, yeah, I really want to do this. And now it's been like 5 years later.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know.
Off topic, but did Jane Silent Bob 2 come out yet?
Yes, it did. I saw it. Okay. I liked it.
Yeah.
I don't know if everyone will like it. It's a very Kevin Smith film. So if you don't like Kevin Smith movies, I wouldn't suggest going to see it.
Well, I think we got the green light for Clerks 3, right?
I think so. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Because the dude who played Randall dropped originally when they first tried to do Clerks 3. And apparently they reconciled and everything's back on track. And Kevin says he likes the script more than he did on the original one too. His original draft for Clerks 3 apparently was like super dark, and this one's a lot more lighthearted. So who knows? It should be pretty cool.
That's one I'm looking forward to.
He's been doing this thing called the True North Trilogy, which the first two of the three have come out. I don't know when the third one's coming out. It's not even in like production or pre-production yet, as far as I know. But those movies are fucked up.
Really?
The first one's called Tusk. You can watch actually all of these on Netflix. Tusk is about a dude who turns another dude into a walrus. Yeah, it's an insane... But it's... They kind of play up like the body horror thing. It's almost like Human Centipede, but like an insane, like a more goofy version of it. Hmm. But they treat it so serious. Like, it's so straight-faced about it. And you see the dude in the walrus suit. They don't shy away from it. It's terrifying. It is a fucked up movie. And then the sequel to that is called Yoga Hosers. And two characters in Tusk are the main characters of this, but they're not the main characters in Tusk. They're like side ancillary characters, and they're the main characters of this movie. It's actually Kevin Smith's daughter and Johnny Depp's daughter. They play convenience store clerks who find out that there is a secret Nazi lab underneath the convenience store they work in. And the dude busts out there's a Nazi scientist frozen in there. He gets woken up and he tries to create an army of Bratzies, which are foot tall Nazis made out of bratwurst.
What?
It's a movie. And I actually legitimate, like, unabashedly adore that movie. It is so dumb, but it's so fun.
Oh my goodness,
it's a dumb movie, and so people hate those, understandably. Mm-hmm. They're dumb. Like, so those listening to this, you probably, unless you once again like Kevin Smith stuff, or you are open-minded, I don't mean open-minded in a shitty way, like you just don't get it, but like you have to go into it knowing it's going to be dumb. Mm-hmm. If you go into it thinking it's going to be something other than dumb, then you're probably going to hate it.
Did you ever visit the Quick Stop in Leonardo, New Jersey?
No.
I want to
as well. Yeah. This turned into like a Kevin Smith thing at the end. But I mean, we finished talking about the topic, yeah, so I don't mind that. But yeah, no, Kevin Smith and Retronauts are the reason that I started podcasting.
That's cool.
And So Retronauts does a lot more information based. I try to mix humor and I try to mix humor along with the history as best I can. Hopefully people enjoy that. I enjoy doing this a lot. So they do a lot of really interesting stuff. The one I was trying to bring up before, they I don't remember which episode it's even in, but there is a thing they talk about called the Play-Doh computer system, and it's like PLATO, right? Mm-hmm. This thing is the most advanced thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, granted, it actually would seem contemporary by modern standards, but so this is a computer system. What it was before the internet existed, right? But it was essentially like they had a mainframe and a bunch of hub computer terminals that would connect to the mainframe. So it was like the internet, but it was only on this one network. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like a worldwide network. It was just this insulary computer network. And so what these computers could do is they could communicate to each other through the network, right? And you would have different hubs, usually on college campuses. And these computer terminals had touch screens, full color, instant message, email, multiplayer, like massive multiplayer games. It was crazy. Plasma LCD displays.
Damn.
Guess when this came out? Late 60s. Oh. It was in the 60s. I'm not talking, like, you could, okay, is it like 90s, cutting edge 90s shit? No. 60s and 70s, this shit existed. It's crazy. It was mainly used for teaching applications and stuff like that, but a lot of college students who had access to it, kind of, there was a community that developed up around it, and people could actually pass games back and forth through it. So there was actually multiplayer games on this network in the 70s. A lot of it was like text based and stuff like that, because they didn't have quite the graphical interface that they could use for it. But it's fucking crazy. I learned about that on Retronauts. I would not have known that if it wasn't for that.
That is pretty dope,
right? If you're interested in something like that, check out the Play-Doh computer systems, or just play. You could Google it, because there's so much stuff out there about it, but no one's ever heard of it at the same time. Like, it seems like the Play-Doh computer system is the proto internet for today. Like, it just set up so much, and the fact that it had touch screens,
yeah,
in like the 60s and 70s is just mind boggling. It's just nuts. Anyway, so. Actually, that added a lot of good stuff to the end of the episode. Casey, do you have any final thoughts on... Actually, you know what? I have one question for you that's kind of a non sequitur, but it involves Christmas. We can bring it back to Christmas. What's one of your favorite Christmas memories?
Oh, good question.
I've already listed mine on previous episodes. Just so I give you time to think, and for some new listeners, I'll just retell one of my own real quick. My N64, it was my first console. I remember getting it, being disappointed it wasn't a Sega Genesis, and actually I think I mentioned that actually on the very last episode, for the Sega Genesis episode. And I remember going out like the next day to Blockbuster and renting Pokemon Snap, because I didn't like any of the games my parents got me, which I ended up loving later on. So like the N64 is like huge Christmas memory thing for me. I also remember getting Final Fantasy X from my grandmother one year, which was nice. Great. But it was one of those things where my grandmother doesn't know video games, so my mom went out and bought it. She paid my mom and then just gave it to me from her. So
that's really neat.
So it was from her. Like, she paid for it, but she's just like, I don't know what to get the kids. So she would have her do it.
Yeah, I have a lot of fun Christmas memories. I mean, my parents spoiled the heck out of me. Even to this day, they still get me stuff. I'm like,
I'm 30 years old.
I'm going to be 30 next month. What's going on?
My parents, I'm very thankful, spoiled me a lot too. They did this cool thing where what they would do is because we're a religious family, they would do a gift you want, a gift from Santa, which is pretty much two want gifts, a gift you need, a gift you share, so something for my brothers and I. Usually that, like, some of that stuff though, that was like the share gifts was like the wild card.
Yeah.
Sometimes it would be like a Wii.
Oh,
we would get
cool.
Like a Wii or a PS2. That was the share gift. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth one would be like a Jesus gift, like a religious type of thing. And usually we use that to go with, like, I would always ask for like Christian band CDs, because, like, surprisingly enough, for those who don't know, there's actually a lot of good music out there. I'm not talking about the praise stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Skillet, August Burns Red. Under Oath is a Christian band for those.
I mean, you know Jamie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys would get along with that.
I don't listen to a lot of it anymore. I'm more into like the more like I like chiptune music a lot more now. Mm-hmm. But oh my gosh, the Almost, which is from a which is Aaron Gillespie, who was from Under Oath. He was the drummer from Under Oath. He created his own band called the Almost. Thousand Foot Crutch is really good. There's just so much. But anyway, sorry. So do you have a Christmas memory that you can think of?
So yeah, I. This is one of my favorites. It's probably, I don't think I have like a favorite, but definitely top five. Definitely the year Christmas 01 when I got the Nintendo GameCube and I got Luigi's Mansion with it. Super, super fun. Just that whole experience was awesome. I remember the next day I went to, my mom took my brother and I to Circuit City when they were still a thing, and I bought, I think I had some other Christmas money from aunts and uncles, but I bought Smash Brothers Melee since that came out a month prior, and I also got a memory card. So, yeah, so that was pretty cool.
I love Christmas memories like that. I actually had a friend on Will like a couple years ago for like a Christmas memories episode, mm-hmm. and I want to avoid doing that because I feel like that's an easy cliche to fall into. Like, nostalgia is a great thing, and I actually, one of my favorite things to listen to on other podcasts is other people's nostalgia.
I'm the same way. And we were talking about that, I think, the first time I was on your podcast doing Metroid.
It's just so comforting. It is. Me. I don't know. It's because it reminds you of your own nostalgia. So mm-hmm. you kind of, you feel this kindred connection with them. I'm going to have to, that'd be a lot of work. I'm going to have to go back and listen to some of my old episodes to see how much nostalgia I've actually dropped. But I have over 100 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a lot to like go back and remember all that, or like figure out which ones I've already told. So I'm just gonna wing it as I usually do. So anyway, that is a good point to wrap this episode up. We talked about Christmas memories, we talked about the great Koopa Claws episode from the Super Mario Super Yes. Show, and we even had time to dive into some podcasting inspiration stuff, like that type of thing. And Kevin Smith, I could talk about Kevin Smith for so long. So yeah, Casey, thank you for joining me for this episode.
Thank you for having me. I always love coming on.
So as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at StalloningPod on all of them. If you want to support the show and you'd like to help it grow, you can check out my show on Patreon, patreon.com/StalloningPod. Even just $1 a month will help me, grow the show and do more things with it. Hopefully even create more episodes more frequently. And yeah, also check out the network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. You can check more of all the shows out on the network at podbeardnetwork.com. Casey, do you have anything you want to plug?
Yeah, sure. I could just send out my Instagram name. It's TK_KazuyaKane. That's KazuyaKane as in November 8th.
Oh, you changed it. It used to be just Kazuya.
Just Kazuya. Yeah, I changed it because I'm making it more Tekken based. So,
okay. Yeah. So TK for Tekken.
TK, yeah.
Yeah, so that should be about it. So everyone, thank you for listening. I know I already said thank you to you, Casey, but seriously, thank you for doing this episode
you.
With me.
Thank you.
That should be it. Everyone, I hope you have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. To whatever you celebrate, just enjoy this time of year. It's a great time of year. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.